We're looking at Matthew 11, from verse 28 to 30, those words where Jesus gave that wonderful invitation, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden." Just to get a bit of the context, we'll start before there. We'll start from verse 23. Matthew 11, from verse 23. "And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I tell you that it will be more tolerable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom than for you." At that time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." And then verse 28, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Wonderful, wonderful words. Well, we can't see the soul, but we can see the body. And so it's always good to move from the body to the soul in our thoughts. Our body often needs rest. When we do a lot of physical work, we need to have rest. That's why we need to have regular times of rest. I'm so glad that God inspired someone, must have been long ago, to invent the bed. A marvelous, marvelous invention, the bed. And the mattress, wow. I'm so glad somebody invented the mattress. To rest, to give your body rest, to lie down and just try to forget the things of the day and let your body get that rest. Close your eyes. Give your eyes rest. Give your body rest. In fact, that's also why we've got a weekly day of rest. For our bodies, but not just for our bodies. Also for our minds and our souls. We need to have rest. Even holidays and leave days are useful. You know, even though you've got your regular rests, but somehow just once in a while you need a little bit more. We need rest for the body and rest for the soul. There was a missionary that followed up the more well-known missionary C.T. Studd, Charles Trevor Studd, in Central Africa. And this man was Jack Harrison. I think it was he. He was on his journey one day, going through along a forest trail with some men with him, carrying various things that they had to take to a site quite far away. And they went a bit further than usual. They really walked hard and they came to a place and they stopped, rested. And then Jack Harrison stood up and he said, "Right, come guys, we must go on." And they said, "No, we can't. We are waiting for our souls to catch up to us." They couldn't go on. They had to first rest a bit more. Now, in this passage, the Lord speaks to us about rest. And Jesus gives rest for the soul. A really tremendous promise. He gives rest to the heavy laden. I must be honest, these words, which seem so simple, have caused me a lot of trouble. I've often looked at these words and they just try to get meaning out of them, try to really understand. In fact, there have been times that even as a Christian, I've walked along the road in prayer, and then I say, Lord, Jesus said he would give rest. Where's that rest? He said, my yoke is easy, but the yoke I'm carrying is not easy. My load is light, but no, at the moment I'm not finding it light. It's not light. And then a little bit further I'll say, but Lord, you do speak the truth. So it must be true. But it's as if these words are not all that simple, all that straightforward to apply in our lives. To non-Christians, to Christians. But the fact is, Jesus speaks these words. He invites those who are heavy laden and he will give rest. Looking at the context, it's quite obvious that there are people that need to repent. They are going wrong, doing wrong things. There's pride, there's all sorts of rebellion. Some seeing clear evidence of God's work in the life of Jesus and just rejecting it. So there's a response needed to Jesus. Turning away from sin, but finding rest in Christ. We're going to focus on these, just these words, and especially the idea that the heavy laden are the ones that are specially invited. The heavy laden. And now we can ask the question, who are the heavy laden? The answer doesn't come out of the text. Normally in an expository message, you find the answers in the text. But what we do find in the text is a question. We have to apply this, and we find the question, who are the heavy laden? Who is Jesus calling? Who needs to apply these words? Who needs to come to Jesus and find that he gives rest? Who needs to take on that yoke that is easy? And the burden that is light. I'm going to try and answer that. And we're going to meet four people. Four different characters. And each of these four men are heavy laden. They are carrying a big load. Now, just looking at you, none of you are carrying a heavy load. And yet maybe you are carrying a heavy load that we can't see. We can't see each other's load when we're talking about the load that can be on the soul. So let's look at these four, each one needing to come to Christ. We first meet with Mr. Searching for Meaning. Mr. Searching for Meaning. Here's a man who's searching for meaning in life. He doesn't always think about it. In fact, he tries to avoid thinking about it. But now and then, he stops to think, what is my life? My life is empty. There's something missing which I really, really desperately need. And there's no rest in his soul because he continues to search. And if you're searching and you haven't found yet, and you need it, you won't find rest. It might not be a very godly person. In fact, most of these people who are like this, they're searching in the wrong places. They're not looking in the right place. They're looking in the wrong places. You might even find people in this category that would say, I've evolved. I'm just a person that has developed from the baboons. I am a whole lot of molecules stuck together. A whole lot of atoms, chemicals, moving in formation. And what meaning can there possibly be to my being here? Such people are sometimes very scared to look up at the stars. Because when they look up at the stars, they get the idea of eternity. They feel so small, it makes their search even greater. They realize, really, they're not finding something. They ask, what place have they got in this big world, in this big universe? And they can be scared to talk about eternal things, because somehow they haven't yet got what they need to get. So they're searching for meaning in life. Ecclesiastes is a book that talks about this search for meaning. And where does he look? Where does the person look, the preacher of Ecclesiastes? He looks under the sun. He looks in this world and he tries to find meaning. And he keeps looking and he doesn't find. He tries riches and he doesn't find. He tries pleasures and he doesn't find. And as he looks, his feeling of emptiness just gets bigger and bigger. He feels it's like chasing the wind. Have you ever tried chasing the wind? You can't catch it, and even if you're fast enough, you still can't catch it. It's empty. There's just something missing. There's a God-shaped vacuum inside, and it's just not being filled. Even with religion, even with going to church, even with trying to do a lot of good things, but somehow there's an emptiness. Money can't fill it. Good marks at college can't fill it. Nothing really can fill it. Some would even go as far as drugs and so on, but they don't find rest for their souls. And they will not find rest for their souls until, what did Jesus say? Come to me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. They can only find that rest in Jesus Christ. Now, there might be very few, there might even be none sitting here who've got this exact problem. But maybe occasionally you sense a little bit of it. And even if it is partially, there's an answer here. Your closeness to Jesus Christ, your closeness in prayer and in fellowship with the one who carries that burden, brings meaning, because he's the eternal one. And he's the one that says, I will give you rest, rest for your soul. But let's move from Mr. Searching for Meaning to the second one. The second one is Mr. Bearing Guilt. By the way, the first two are mainly non-Christians. In fact, if you're talking about genuine Christianity, the first two are non-Christians. Even though there might be a certain aspect of it which you can carry with you. The second two will be Christians. But Mr. Bearing Guilt, that's our second man. He's heavily laden. He's got his burden. He's carrying his load. Other people can't see it, but he's carrying it. And we read quite a few places in the Bible about this heavy load of guilt. Psalm 32 is a passage I come to again and again. It addresses this problem quite well. David was a man who for a while carried guilt and was very aware of it. And while he was carrying the guilt, what did he say? He said, "It's that guilt, carrying that guilt is destroying me." It destroyed his health. It destroyed his vitality of life. It ruined him. It really was a heavy, heavy burden, even eating up his bones. And we know what happens to people who are driven by their guilt or troubled and crushed by their guilt. They'll do all sorts of strange things. And of course it affects their minds. I was told that probably most people in mental hospitals are there mainly because they have guilt which they can't deal with, which they haven't dealt with, and it leads to so many complications. John Bunyan was a wonderful writer, and we know, some of us know the book Pilgrim's Progress, and how it starts off with Christian, this main character, carrying his load. He's got a terrible load on his back. It's heavy. His wife can't take it away from him. His children can't take it away from him. People around him can't take it away from him. He can't get rid of it. He's carrying this terrible load. Eventually, he got somebody who knew what to do, Mr. Evangelist. And he pointed him far in the distance. He says, "Can you see that narrow gate?" And he pointed him to the right direction. That's where he's going to get rid of this terrible burden. But it's a burden. And even tonight, millions of people are going to go to sleep with a burden of guilt. And they'll wake up tomorrow morning with the same burden of guilt. And they cannot get rid of it easily. Another character that we know very well is Martin Luther of the Reformation. You might not realize it, but he carried guilt for a long time. And the guilt crushed him. He was a brilliant young man. He was so intelligent. And things were going for him. His father was quite prosperous. He lived in Germany. And when he was about 19 years old, he was walking along and he got caught in a thunderstorm, a violent thunderstorm. Lightning was striking left, right. And he got afraid and he prayed, "Lord, help me. Lord, help. If you help me, I'll become a monk." Not a monkey, a monk, that's like a man who goes to and stays in a monastery. He thought that maybe if he would go to that holy place, God would be pleased and he would find rest for his soul. So he went to a monastery. He stopped his legal studies and he went to a monastery. He spent hours and hours and hours every day in prayer and in meditation. He took a whip and whipped himself to cause himself pain so that the Lord would take away his sins. He used to punish himself terribly. Germany is a cold place, colder than the mountains of Lesotho in the winter. It's cold. And he would sleep on the cold concrete floor, just like that. He didn't want a mattress because a mattress is comfortable. So he would sleep on the floor. He would go confessing to his priest regularly. In fact, his priest got tired. Couldn't bear this Martin Luther who would keep on coming and pestering him with his confessions of all his sins. But he couldn't get rid of it. It was a heavy burden which just carried on and he couldn't get rid of it. Later on he went to Rome. He thought in Rome, that holy city, at least there he would get rest for his soul. The Pope is there and all the great things are there. He would at least get an answer there. He came back from Rome. He still didn't have peace for his soul. He was carrying his burden of guilt all the way. He studied the Bible. He started preaching, teaching the Bible. He became a professor. He was teaching the Bible, Psalms, Galatians, Romans. He was teaching it to his students. He still didn't have peace for his soul. But it didn't take long. And he found peace for his soul. He found it in the words of Scripture. And the light shone, and his burden fell off. He said, "The gates of paradise are open for me." And he found rest for his soul, Martin Luther. And I think we know the rest of the story. So there is rest for the soul found in Jesus Christ. We must know that. There are people that we will meet. There probably, or there might even be some sitting here in this hall, and you haven't found rest for your soul. You are Mr. Bearing Guilt. It's possible. Well, what does the Bible say? It says there's rest for the soul. If you are handcuffed, how can you get free? The one with the key must come and unlock so that you can be free. And he's the one who said, "Come to me, all you are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Only Jesus Christ can take away guilt. John the Baptist said, "The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Not religion, not hard work, not whipping, not sleeping on a concrete floor, not going to Rome. None of these things can take away guilt. Jesus Christ, the crucified, risen one, the Lamb of God, he takes away sin and guilt. "Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow." I also think of those words in Jeremiah 2. "Though you use lye and use much soap, yet your iniquity is marked before me, says the Lord God." But then along comes Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, taking away sin. That was the second man. We've looked at Mr. Searching for Meaning. We've looked at Mr. Bearing Guilt. Who is this one bearing, carrying, or heavy laden that Jesus is calling? A third one, Mr. People Pleaser. Many Christians are among them. Mr. Pleasing People. He is carrying a very heavy load. Many Christians, as I say, are like that. They can be worn out sometimes, tired, emotionally tired, spiritually tired, carrying many responsibilities, more than they can bear. Worrying that someone will not be happy with what they are doing. What will he think of this bit of effort that I've put in? What will she think about me? I'm trying to please this one, I'm trying to please that one. And if I get asked, "Isn't there somebody who can do this task?" I will do it. "Will you do it?" "Yes." "I know I can't, but yes, I will do it because I'm a people pleaser. And I'm carrying a very heavy load." And such a person is heavy laden. He doesn't realize that the yoke he's carrying wasn't put there by Jesus Christ. It's another yoke. It's the people-pleasing yoke. Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart. You shall find rest for your souls." Are you carrying the yoke that Jesus gave you? Or are you carrying a yoke which you've somehow taken on because you want to be popular, you want to be acceptable, you want to please people? We're not talking here about hard work as such. We must be hardworking, isn't it? I'm sure you've been told many times, and you know it for sure, you must be a hard worker. If we want to look at good examples of hard work, Jesus himself was a hard worker. You read some of the scriptures, what happened on an average day of ministry. He was a hard worker. He got up early before the others got up. And spiritually, he was working until late at night. He was a hard worker. Was Paul a hard worker? Yo. I don't think I could fit into my life the things that he fitted into his life. He was a hard worker. In fact, he even said These other false apostles, you think they're working hard. I worked harder than all of them. He could say it freely. He knew. He was a hard worker. And people knew him as a hard worker. John Calvin of the Reformation was known as a hard worker. And the people that were taught by him were hard workers. It characterized the Christianity that came from Geneva. Hard work is not wrong. But the motive. Why are we doing it? Are we doing it to please people? If we are, we will not find rest for our souls. Let's look at the last one. Quite an interesting one. This is also a Christian. He's heavy laden. Who is he? He's Mr. Savior of the Church. Mr. Savior of the Church. Sin and Satan are so strong. Everywhere you look, you see sin and you see Satan. The church is being threatened. The church is dying. The church is being destroyed. I must save the church. I'm a Christian. It's my duty. I must save the church from going down. There's so many problems in the Christian organization or in my church. I need to save the church. I must pray harder. I must witness more to more people. I must serve better. I must teach people more. I must give more. I must give the church a chance. God is looking to me. People are looking to me. The church is looking to me. I must save the church. Does this make sense? Maybe it doesn't to some of you. Maybe it does to some of you. And you can be heavy laden. You can be burdened more than you should be burdened in your soul. Such a person can sometimes feel very burdened and very stressed. They experience that the Lord is cruel. Can you imagine calling Jesus cruel? But somehow your perception in your mind, you won't speak it with your mouth, but your perception in your mind is a cruel Jesus. A slave driver who's pushing you, driving you. Is that possible? You find your work is fruitless. There's no fruit. And yet you need to bear fruit. There's the expectation. You read in the Bible that you're supposed to be fruitful. So you press even harder to try and save the church. The church needs help. Is that a correct perspective? Who is the one who builds the church according to the Bible, according to the New Testament? Jesus said, I will build my church. I will, not I will try. I will build my church. God actually doesn't need anything. He doesn't need help. I must do my part and I must do it cheerfully. But he doesn't need me. If I find that I'm burdened in this way, the answer is exactly the same for the other three people that we've been talking about. Jesus said, you who are heavy laden, come to me, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. The answer is coming to Jesus Christ in that prayerful, trusting way. Coming to him again and again. An old Christian friend, he said to me once, when you find yourself heavy laden as a Christian and you try to hand over to the Lord, And it seems he doesn't take it. You still carry it. He says, carry on doing it. Do it again and again. Say, Lord, I'm giving this to you. It's yours. I'm giving it to you. And do it again and again, casting your cares on him. And focus on just drawing close to the Lord Jesus Christ. Trusting him as the Savior, the one who takes your burdens, the one who takes guilt, the one who gives rest to the soul. Keep returning to him. Take off the false yoke. Make sure you put on the correct yoke. Just to remind ourselves of the instructions we find in this passage, just in closing. Jesus said, come to me. That's the first instruction to the heavy laden. Come to me. Don't go there. Come to me. Jesus is calling us to draw near. Deliberately draw near and to come to him himself. A second thing he says is, take my yoke upon you. My yoke. Not that yoke, not that yoke. My yoke. Take that which Jesus gives. Take it joyfully. And learn from him. We carry on learning. And as much as we learn from him and about him, we discover him to be the Almighty One, the Gracious One, the Loving One, the One who can take our burdens. And we do find rest for our souls in that. The one who needs meaning in life finds it. The one who has guilt can have it released, taken away. The one who needs freedom from people pleasing, he can find that because the dominant thing in his life will be resting in the Lord and willingly and freely obeying him. And the one who tries to save the church is constantly reminded that Jesus is building his church, and I'm one of the privileged people who just joined in that kingdom ministry, taking part in his victory that he gives. And may the Lord help each one here. When you go through those, if you go through any stage of your life where you feel, but I'm one of the heavy laden, go back to this passage and may the Lord guide you to find true rest for the soul, even in this life. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you very much for this wonderful invitation and call to the heavy laden. And Lord, we know these words are true. They were not just spoken, but they were spoken in truth as a true invitation to the heavy laden. Help us, Lord, to apply these words to find true peace and through that energy in serving you with such pleasure. We pray your blessing, Lord, on our carrying out these words. For Jesus' sake, amen.